Eddie, I know it's been a while. How you been?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I guess this was a good outcome today. I didn't think Nikola Jokic was ever going to be suspended, but when it did come down that he was only fined $25,000 for the incident last night with Matt Ishbia, just how did you respond to that?
Well, again, I mean, okay, good that he didn't get suspended. And I don't think that's the issue at all. I think more so, I think, you know, and this is coming from a guy that was, you know, I wouldn't say I was middle class when I played in the league, but I was maybe a little bit above it, okay? But I was never that quote-unquote star. And let's face it, the stars get a little bit more leeway than the other guys. And I get it. They've earned it. They have to carry teams. They have more responsibility. I get it. But they also have the letter of the law, right? And, you know, I want you to just understand the mindset of a Phoenix Suns fan. In 2007, when the Suns had just finished off a victory against San Antonio and the time was running out, the game was pretty much had, Robert Horry hip-checked Steve Nash into the scoreboard. And that elicited a response. And the response was for his teammates to go to the aid of, obviously, the MVP.
Yeah.
And in doing that, Boris Diaw and Amari Stoudemire got off the bench, and they walked towards Steve Nash. Not towards Robert Horry, but they walked towards Steve Nash. And the league suspended him. And then the Suns had to come home game five without – arguably, the most dynamic player offensively, Amari Stoudemire, the second best passer, post-up player, Boris Diaw, and San Antonio beat him, and it cost him a series. So, Suns fans don't want to hear it. Like, you know, and David Stern said at the time, that's the letter of the law. That's what it is. If you do it, you get suspended again. Well, if you go into the stands and you put your hands on a fan, regardless if you think the fan was wrong, that's a suspension. And so for me, I just wanted to be consistent. And it's more me protecting the middle class of player that doesn't make the kind of money that some of these stars make. And if they're going to get suspended because of stuff like that, and granted, if Bruce Brown had done that, how do you think that would have worked out?
But here's the other part of this, too. If you're the owner of the team, now I don't think Jokic had to run up and go grab the ball, but if you're the owner of the team, it's like, why was he trying to hold on to the ball? That's the part that I didn't get.
If you watch the video, and I went through it on SiriusXM on my show with Justin Termini today, if you watch the video, Matt Ishbia didn't even see Jokic walking toward him. His first concern was to help Josh Okogie up, and he had the ball in his arms. And then the next thing you know, Jokic was grabbing at the ball. And that, you watch Matt Ishbia's head turn around to see who it was. He saw it was Jokic. And then, you know, I guess his competitiveness, he tried to hold on to it. And then the ball escaped both of them, and it went into the crowd deeper than what it was. Why didn't Jokic basically tell the official or tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, hand me the ball? He went over aggressively to take the ball. And so for me, and people were saying, well, he was rushing over there to get the ball to get it out of bounds. No. Because once he got the ball, he would have had to hand it to the official, and the official would have given Josh Okogie an opportunity to get back into the playing circle. So that's not true. He would not have had 5-on-4. So Jokic has a history of having anger against guys, and that's okay. But you can't protect guys. He was wrong for doing what he did, okay? And good for him that he didn't get suspended, but you don't go in the crowd with aggressiveness towards fans. You just don't do it.
Do you think the league told Matt Ishbia to release that tweet pretty much today to try to nip this in the bud? Because I would be surprised if he just did this just out of nowhere on his own.
No, I don't think they told him to do that. I think Matt Ishbia is a competitor, and I truly believe what he said. I don't think anybody wants to beat Denver without Jokic. I truly don't. And some people might think, oh, yeah, you do want to spend it. No. No, I just want rules to be enforced the way they're supposed to be enforced. That's it. You know, and that's just the way of life. And so I don't want to have, you know, any adjustment because of who the person is. You know, and so that's just the way I look at it. But no, I think Matt pretty much laid that out on his own. I truly do.
And Matt probably gets ejected if he just was a regular fan, like if we're being honest, too.
Yeah, that's fine. But you know what? It's no interaction if Jokic does not walk over there. See, and that's the problem. That's the problem I'm having with people when they keep bringing that up. If Jokic had just stood there and told the official, hey, man, go get the ball, it would not have been an issue. He went over there. He wasn't even the one involved in the play. He went over there, and he grabbed the ball. So he initiated whatever happened after that. And I think that has to be stated, you know. And other than that, you know, like I said, I'm glad that he's not suspended, because I think it would be a travesty if he had to sit out of the game. But, again, he's got to be careful with that, because how many chances do you get?
Eddie Johnson here with us. You know, something gets lost in this because everyone's talking about this incident from yesterday. I know Durant and Booker were great. But, man, what a performance Landry Shamet had yesterday, Eddie Johnson.
Well, I mean, look, the Suns bench has been maligned. And look, I've gone down that road before, man. And, you know, when you're counted on to come in and you're playing behind stars, and, you know, I went through it with Houston. And, you know, the pressure was on us. And it's not easy, man. It truly isn't. And, you know, those guys have been maligned lately. And, you know, Terrence Ross and T.J. Warren had not been playing. And, you know, for me, I was glad Monty decided to play them, because I know. I mean, when I look at those guys, I look at myself. Like, that's huge, man. When you are walking bucket and you're out there with those two, they're not doubling. Like, just by reputation alone, Denver's not going to double off Terrence Ross. And so because of that, it's allowed Devin Booker and KD to get more one-on-one coverage. And I think it's paid dividends, without a doubt.
Eddie Johnson, when you look at this series the rest of the way, what do you think is ultimately going to decide it? What do you think is going to be the difference between these two teams?
I think, obviously, getting stopped. I mean, it's two very gifted offensive teams. And, you know, we haven't seen many 8-0, 10-0 runs. So it's like, you know, whoever can get the lead and get an 8-0, 10-0 run and get some comfortability, then they're going to have a chance to win. You know, the Suns are committed to not allowing Jokic to have an impact overall on the game, meaning score points and then dish out and find assists for his teammates. They're telling him, okay, we're going to guard you mano-mano, and you just waste that energy and go score 50. But, you know, as you saw yesterday, he had 50, but he only had 4 rebounds. And the Suns were able to win the game. And I think that old school approach is the way to look at it. I mean, because if you allow Jokic to score and pass, then he'll just eat you up. And I think that's the mentality there for the Suns in dealing with him.
When you look at Devin Booker, we all know how great of a player he is. This is not the first time this comparison has been thrown out there. But when people talk and compare Devin Booker to Kobe Bryant, just what goes through your mind?
They're on par. Look, I've seen this kid since 19 years old in Suns uniform. This is no accident. This kid is maniacal, man. And he's highly efficient. And he's even more efficient because, yeah, he's got Kevin Durant on his team. He's not getting as doubled as much as he used to. And, yeah, I think it's an advantage for him. But you still got to put that orange ball in the basket. And right now, he's doing it at a highly efficient clip. I mean, you're telling me he's shooting 60%, 51 from three, and then 87 from the line? I mean, it's, and the numbers he's putting up, this is simply amazing. But I'm not shocked that he's able to go on a run like this, because he has that old school mentality in him to where, you know, if he has one good game, he doubles down on a 2, 3, 4, 5 good game. So, I'm not shocked by it at all. I just think he's that special.
Are you concerned about the Celtics when you look at that Celtics-Sixers series?
Well, I hate that everybody's trying to, you know, point the finger at Joe Mazzulla. You know, like, look, the man stepped into a coaching job for a guy that took the team to the finals the year before. I think he's done a tremendous job. Is he perfect? No, he's not. But I don't think people should put the blame on him. Now, you know, because what I've heard is you talk about Jason Tatum, you talk about Jaylen Brown, what do you hear? You hear that they've been winning since they've been in the league. They've had a lot of success. They've won a lot of games. And so now they're not kids anymore. They're adults. They're mature. And they should be able to really make great decisions at the end of a game. And I don't see a problem with them not calling the timeout. I mean, because where's the ball? Isn't the ball of the guy that you're going to call a timeout for and get the ball to? And that's Jason Tatum. So Jason has to be a better decision maker. He's got to make sure that if he doesn't have the shot, he's got enough time to find a teammate. And so I think, you know, and Jason Tatum took that too. You know, it wasn't like he deflected blame. But I just, you know, everybody wants to point the finger at Joe Mazzulla. And I'm like, this is a veteran basketball team. They should be able to make it work. And, you know, right now it's a 2-2 series, so it makes it very interesting.
What type of Harden do you think you'll see the rest of the way in this series?
That's funny, right? I mean, but I think more so, I think the same. I don't know to the level of 40 points, but I think it'll be the same. I think it's always adjustment when your star player comes back and you got to sink back into the role that you were playing with him. And I think Harden is finally realizing that he's got to be more aggressive. And he's got to go for it. And I think it takes a lot of pressure off of Joel. So great opportunity for Philly. I think Boston has been vulnerable at home this year. They've been able to get beat on their court. And if Joel's knee is starting to feel better, because I do think he's playing on 1.5 legs. I do. I don't think that he's 100% in. But great opportunity for Philly to go steal one in Boston, just based on the criticism that these guys have dealt with really throughout the playoffs, not just in this series, but in the Atlanta series as well.
The Heat at halftime are up on the Knicks. Eddie Johnson, 56-48. We'll see what happens the rest of the second half if Miami can take a 3-1 series lead. Just wondering with the East, with Milwaukee down and out after losing to Miami, the Celtics, Sixers not knowing which way this series is going to go. Is Boston still the team you trust the most in the East, or do you go with the Heat maybe?
Well, they got the most experience, without a doubt. And, you know, and that's why I say, yeah, it's kind of weird that they've made some of the mistakes they've made. But, you know, they know exactly what to do to get to a final. And I would probably just still lean on them. But I'm not counting out Philly. I'm not at all. I think Philly's defenders can create problems and make Boston work. And I think if Philly can get out of this series against Boston, you know, they'll get to the finals. I just happen to believe the winner of this series, Boston Philly, is going to the finals. And all due respect to what the Heat have done, I'm going with Boston or Philly.
Before we let you run, big game tonight, Warriors and Lakers. Well, what do you look for here as the Warriors try to go take a 3-1 series? The Lakers try to go take a 3-1 series lead and really put a dent into the Warriors dynasty.
Well, the one thing the Lakers have forced Steve Kerr to do is continue to make changes. And that lets me know that Darvin Ham right now has the upper hand, right? Now Gary Payton II, I think, is going to start tonight.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Lakers' length, their size, their speed and quickness, their multiple ball handlers, even without LeBron handling it, it created a problem for Golden State. So usually, you know, you remember back in the past when they used to play LeBron-led teams, they would just concentrate on really forcing and putting pressure on LeBron because they knew he was the only facilitator. But now Austin Reeves can pass. D'Angelo Russell can pass. Schroeder can pass. So now they got multiple players that can make decisions, and I think it's really taking advantage of the Warriors and, you know, in their game plan in regards to really focusing on LeBron. And if Anthony Davis comes out and he plays like he did the last game, I just can't see the Warriors beating them unless they just lights out from three. And to me, it seems like that's what they're counting on. By putting Gary Payton in the lineup, they're going ultra small. And it just seems to me that they're going to rely on their ability to make that three. And unfortunately, they're facing a team in the Lakers that is as good as anybody in the league at defending the three.
Eddie Johnson, how'd you react to the Budenholzer firing last week?
I was surprised. I was shocked a little bit because I know he made his mistake, but then you find out, you know, a sibling passed away. And so you couldn't have had a straight and balanced mind going through what he did. Yes, he's been, I think, you know, criticized in the past a few years and doing some things and doing it his way. And I think it maybe just reached a point. But ultimately, I think the players did not push back on it. Are you going to tell me that they're going to make a coaching change with a guy that won a title for them and Giannis didn't know about it?
You're 100% right. And this is something I thought about. I don't know if it'll happen because he's under contract with another team. But you know a trade could go down. I wonder if Ty Lue, who unfortunately injuries unfortunately have derailed the Clippers, I wonder if he tries to get a part of that Bucks organization now.
I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if he did. I mean, because you would like to go to a game knowing that your players are going to be there playing. I mean, last few years, he hasn't known even up to game time if his team would be healthy to play.
And that's got to be frustrating.
So, yeah. Well, without a doubt.
Eddie Johnson, great to catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Hey, always take care of yourself.